welcome to Inside the Creator's Mind, presented by Web Series Canada. Today, I have the creator of the CBC series Farm Crime, Jeff Morrison. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you, Katie.
Nice to meet you. So I watched this entire series, and I cried in most of the episodes. Can you tell me a little bit about why you chose the subjects you chose and why you think people have such an emotional connection to these stories?
I think all the stories are quite grounded. They're, everyday people talking about their everyday struggles, except that those struggles in these cases are a little bit heightened. They're crimes and incidents, thefts, people at their most vulnerable. And so I think when we enter their lives and hear about these experiences they've had, it does trigger an emotional reaction, because you don't necessarily understand what goes into all these various elements of farming and agriculture. And I think some of it can be quite surprising when you learn actually what does go into the job and hearing about the types of things that actually happen to people from time to time.
And tell me a little bit about choosing your subjects. I love that you really represented Canada in this series, the oyster farmer out east and the beef farmer in Quebec, and you had stories all across Canada, out on the West Coast as well. So how did you go about finding all of your subjects?
There's a fair bit of research that went into it. For the most part, kind of looking into stories that either had been reported on in the press or maybe would pick up on a media release through one of the law enforcement agencies. And then it was just a matter of getting on the phone. And we knew we wanted to travel with the show and get to a number of different provinces and a number of different environments and landscapes and certainly have a diversity in the subject matter. But I think we really just lucked out in having stories that, for instance, the oyster fishermen, which was very like quintessential. Oyster fishing happens in Prince Edward Island. So we just kind of lucked out with the places that we ended up. But, the research is fairly extensive. Like for every story that we would produce, there would probably be like another like 10 to 20 that we would like look into and that wouldn't bear fruit. But yeah, it's quite a long process to try and find a really good story with enough elements and people that are keen to come forward and share it.
Absolutely. And I found that there was obviously the crime element in each episode, but there was often a personal element, where these are smaller farms. So whether it be a family business or, George of Green Gables Oysters, his story with his wife becoming ill was sort of woven into it. When you were looking for subjects, were you looking for just the crimes? They're all interesting and very disturbing, frankly. But were you also looking for that personal side to the story as well?
Well, I think that was kind of one of the surprising things that happened when we started filming this series is... we knew that we were going to be speaking with people that were very passionate about what they do. And I think what sort of sets this show apart from like other kind of true crime shows is that, this is their livelihood, and they're so deeply connected to the work that they do that, when something bad happens, like the stakes are inherently quite high. And so, it doesn't have to be an assault or a murder or something like that. If it involves their livelihood and something that's meaningful to them, the stakes are immediately going to be high. And as soon as we start to talk to them, they really kind of opened up about their experience. And a lot of the times it's really quite heartbreaking. So it doesn't have to be a huge theft or a huge, kind of like personal attack. But no matter what it was, that people would take it quite personally. And I think that really just came across.
And I think any of us who've ever had anything stolen, even if it is the smallest thing, it really does shake you to the core. And I found that that was a common thread as well. Was that something, because the crimes really varied in terms of how many, livestock or bees or... the blueberry heist, you know, what was missing and sort of the connection to it. But have you had any personal experiences with, you know, thievery or any kind of crime like that yourself?
I haven't myself, but I think, you know, again, one of the things that we didn't know we were going to get with this show was, was coming across people that's experiences with crime was also quite new to them. And I mean, we think of, I mean, my kind of typical idea going into this project was the landscapes outside of the city, the, you know, small communities, small towns, everyone looks after each other. There's this idealized notion of what it's like to be a farmer and live in one of those communities. But I think the reality is that these types of incidents do happen. And I think for the people that are involved, I mean, it may have come as a surprise to them as well. And so it kind of, interrupts that notion that these are, you know, totally safe and friendly communities. Like, and not to say that they aren't, but these types of things actually do happen, and you probably don't hear about them as often as you would.
And along those lines, I mean, I would also say that I was inspired by the communities that you did highlight, and the sort of, you know, for example, in the one episode that was out east with the farmers who had, like, the guy with the pigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then his neighbor, they had the chickens. And how on social media they had posted about what was going on and how the communities really, like, rallied to help. Was that something that you were surprised by, or were you expecting that going into smaller towns? Like, in Toronto, no one cares. But I loved that about the show.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's something that we've encountered a lot with this show, is that when these stories do get out there, there is a strong reaction to them, and people really do care, and they like to show their support, whether it's through a GoFundMe campaign or just supporting these businesses in any way they can. I think, you know, along those lines, another thing that kind of surprised us as well is how, I mean, modern and contemporary these stories they are. There's a number of pieces we've worked on where, you know, the stories have unfolded, like, on Kijiji or Facebook or through other, like, social media platforms. And, I mean, those are the places as well where people will show up to, like, offer their support or make a donation or something like that, or even just, like, send a kind note. So, honestly, when you hear something bad happening to someone and someone going through some hardship, you want to try and help them out in any way you can.
Absolutely. Did you grow up on a farm or in a rural community, or are you a city boy?
I'm a city boy. I mean, I grew up in the city and in the suburbs. And I came to this project just out of a fascination with these stories and these communities and hearing that these types of things were going on, which, I mean, initially came as quite a surprise to me. I think the maple syrup heist in Quebec was kind of the first one that kind of, like, got on my radar. I was like, wow, as if something like that would happen. And so, you know, I immediately developed a fascination with it. And I think one of the interesting characteristics of the show is, like, we don't try to get away from the fact that it's produced, you know, from, you know, here I am in our studio in Toronto. The narrator in the show has this voice and lens of curiosity, and where we want to learn about the people and the work that they do and do it respectfully. And we kind of knew from the beginning that we weren't going to be able to get away from that. So we just kind of made it as something that was, like, baked into, like, the fabric of the show and its voice.
And tell me a little bit about the cinematography. It was absolutely beautiful. It made me proud to be a Canadian. You had so many gorgeous landscapes coast to coast. So tell me a bit about working with the cinematographer and coming up with that vision for the show.
Yeah, I mean, the vision was just to be as, like, straightforward as possible. I think the style and the approach in general is very, like, no-nonsense. There's, like, not a lot of frills, both in, like, the storytelling and in the visual presentation. So I really wanted to kind of, like, break it down to very simple, core, like, documentary aesthetics. So almost everything is shot on sticks. There's, like, handheld cameras when it makes sense. And we also wanted to utilize, aerial cinematography, but do it in a way that's, like, not, like, flashy, or you know, none of this like cowboy stuff. It's just, let's like present the landscapes as they are. Let's use it as a different camera angle, as a different perspective. And in a way, you know, come up with a style that like that suits the pace of the world and the pace of the places that we're visiting. So it was really just trying to keep it as simple as possible. And I mean, so much of it is just getting into like a nice, beautiful environment and finding a nice way of capturing it.
Did you know before you started that some people breed pigeons? No.
No.
I love that.
No
I
idea.
Thought it was so
no idea.
Fascinating. I was like, do people know about this?
I mean, there's been a few things that we've come across that have been quite fascinating. There's a, the fancy pigeon story was one where, I mean, it was the last story we shot for the first season, and we were in a way kind of like desperate for another story. And I'd read about this like rash of livestock thefts in the Fraser Valley that had happened, I don't know how many years ago. And then found that this one particular story, like there's these few pigeon thefts, and then at the core of this was a fancy pigeon breeder. And I mean, to think about what he went through, this being the biggest passion in his life, like ripped from him, like over the course of one night. It's just an amazing world to learn about and be able to share and to have that work in the context of the show as well and be able to present it that way. There's a story in the second season about a baby eel or elver fishery in Nova Scotia and $1 million like trafficking case where the Department of Fisheries and Oceans goes undercover and launches a sting operation to catch someone who's responsible for illegal fishing and then trying to traffic baby eels. So it was another kind of one of those stories that I knew nothing about until we were getting into it and starting to research it. And through the context of the show, we're able to, you know, inform viewers about the baby eel fishery and then also this kind of dark side of it as well that like threatens not just the, you know, the livelihood of the fishers, but also the sustainability of the species. So it's
amazing.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I learned so much. And even, you know, with the oysters on the East Coast, I loved George. And one of my favorite quotes of the series was like, it only takes one arsehole to come and steal your oysters. And I was like, I loved how like down to earth and open your subjects were. So can you just tell us about how you just, you know, they were such lovely humans and how they just were relaxed and just totally, you know, open and honest.
Yeah, I think that's just a product of who they are, and maybe it's through their own upbringing or the way they live their lives and the way they run their businesses. They're just genuine, like nice people. And I think to take part in a project like this and participate in the first sense, like, you know, you kind of need to be open to that and allow yourself to be a part of that process. And I think it takes a certain kind of person that's willing to do that. And so inherent in that is just like someone that is nice and giving and sort of willing to share.
Tell us a little bit more about season two. What can we expect? And also congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. More farm crime. I'd say if in one way that the world of the show is a bit broader, which is something I kind of love about this project, is what a farm crime story can be. There's a piece centered on invasive species, the Asian giant hornet, known as the murder hornet. And so we do a story about the very first Asian giant hornet nest discovered in North America, and this, you know, group of dedicated beekeepers in Nanaimo that found the nest. I mentioned the baby eel fishery, which is another really fascinating story. There's a piece about a woman who had leased two of her horses, and when she went to retrieve them, they were both missing. It's quite a heartbreaking story. Another piece set in the East Coast about a rash of lobster thefts and a lobster fisherman who was, you know, toasting the best start of a season they've ever had. It was New Year's Eve, and while he was partying with his friends just down the road, a group of thieves made off with 800 pounds of his lobster. And then there's another story that's also quite heartbreaking and quite beautiful and quite layered and quite deep about a Nakota elder who had three of his horses stolen, and how his daughter, who had just a really, really intimate connection with the horses, kind of launched an investigation herself to try and track down the horses. And it's quite an interesting piece as well. So it's, I mean, quite different in terms of the stories and the subject matter. And again, we kind of got all across Canada as well and shot it during a pandemic.
How was it shooting during the pandemic? Did you feel safe, or was it all right, all things considered?
I mean, I suppose so. I mean, the credit really goes to the crew and the people who are out in the field. The one episode that I've shot happened just before the pandemic, and the rest of the season, five out of the six episodes were shot just, I mean, social distancing, wearing masks, of course, trying to shoot outside as much as possible, hiring as much local crew, not traveling people, just doing whatever we could to keep our crew and our subjects safe. I mean, there was definitely a lot of layers to it and a lot more precaution, a lot of thought that went into it. A mess of kind of challenges in post-production as well. but I mean, like the other projects that are out there still shooting and getting it done, we found a way and got it done. So, I mean, we're quite proud of that.
And where is the best place for us to find out more information on Farm Crime online?
I could say any of the Farm Crime social channels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, just at Farm Crime. One word, and of course on CBC Gem.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Congratulations on a beautiful, entertaining, heartwarming series, and congrats on all of the awards that you've been nominated for and that you've won. It's such a successful show, and I'm very excited to see season two.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Katie.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Inside the Creator's Mind, presented by Web Series Canada. Looking forward to seeing you next time.